Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a special impromptu episode. If you know anything about IMTN Worldwide Radio, you know primarily it's a show that pushes people who are in the entertainment industry, primarily models, actresses, photographers, casting directors, things of that nature. But there was an eventuality that I was going to spread out to other facets of different industries, and one of them, of course, is sports. I am in Atlanta. I wouldn't say native, but I did live there for a good portion of my life, and I'm an Atlanta homer. Hawks fan, Braves fan, Falcons fan. So eventually I did want to do episodes that did pertain to sports. Tonight, even though I really didn't prepare a show, and I'm usually very detailed in regards to, you know, producing my shows, I decided to go ahead and do a show after today, which was the NBA's trade deadline, as all of you know. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So hopefully you call in, 347-326-9640. Hit me up if you do have your 3 cents to put in. But I'm going to go ahead and start off. I believe this all started with Keith Spencer. Now, I know that just sounds crazy in itself, but I believe at the point where we did know we were going to have a season, we did know we were going to have 66 games to play around with, I believe that the whole doom of this season started with his release, and this is the reason why. At the end of the day, they're not saying that Al got hurt because of him playing the center position, but we all know he is not a center in the NBA sense of the word, okay? I believe that Keith didn't get new playing time. Maybe they could have sent him to the NBDL. Something could have been done to where he could have been regulated some way, somehow, to play the five. At the end of the day, what harm could it have brought? Because at the end, we see Ivan Johnson and, you know, all these other players that come up from the NBDL and they play good for a period of time, whatever. What harm would it have been to be able to have him playing that five position, Al playing four, Josh playing three, so on and so forth? We all know what, you know, Joe playing two and Teague at one. Within releasing him, it was a matter of y'all drafted him and didn't really give him a chance. You only have 66 games, okay? So that's why I say coming into today, and as the hours pass, and I'm looking at SportsCenter, I'm looking at NBA TV, and it is noon. And still nothing happened. No words, no hints of anything, rumors, you know, Sekou Smith and Stephen A and all these people, nothing. It hit 1 o'clock, and I forgot what I had to do today, but I left. I come back, it's after four, and I'm just looking at the ticker. And then finally we see the whole trading of the draft pick with cash considerations. I don't know what any of y'all did, but I threw my remote to TV and tried to break my TV. Okay, that's just me, though. Because at that point, that's where it just sunk in that it just doesn't matter. And then, you know, I see the little verbiage on the Atlanta Hawks Nation fan page in regards to Rick's son saying he'd be satisfied with 3 wins in the second round. And, you know, I just called into the Dirty World Jamal show, and I basically said, you know, so basically you're saying, you know, win 3 games and quit to win the fourth. Don't win that fourth game. That's too much. You're doing too much now. We actually, you know, got to the second round, first of all. I mean, we're saying that we're going to get to the second round with what we got. That's well, fine and good, but, you know, we get to the second round and we make it a seven-game series. Don't win the fourth game because, you know, that's too much expectation. And I think it's just disappointing to just hear these things from, you know, the people who pull the strings, the people who control budgets, things of this nature. And it's getting to the point where, and that's another thing that I mentioned earlier today, the Neat trade. I believe the Dominique Wilkins trade of Danny Manning basically doomed our franchise forever. You know, we've had good teams in the past. We, you know, we've had our periods of mediocrity for sure. You know, but we've had there's been decades where we've had teams to where people did pay attention to the Atlanta Hawks. You know, the Omni was the place to be back in the day. You know, you can't come into the Omni and think you're going to win. You know, and after Zeke is gone and everything, you know, years later you have Smitty and Dikembe and Mookie Blaylock, you know, had that team. And then, you know, 5-6 years ago, we had, you know, Joe here and Josh as a youngin' and, you know, Jay Chill and all those guys, and, you know, taking Boston to seven. And the semblance of maybe here it goes. Here's our core that actually might be able to do something, might be able to take us to that other level. And, you know, Woodson was there, and from year to year, you know, the team got better, or at least in wins. You know, and maybe it was just a couple of pieces away, and then all of a sudden Mike's gone. He drew in there, and yes, he did get us to the second round. Yes, we did, you know, do a little something with Chicago, and, you know, but this season has, I don't know about y'all, this has been bad. Right now, make sure y'all call in. I don't want to talk this whole show, but I will. 347-326-9640. It's been kind of embarrassing. I mean, for the periods of time to where we looked like we were gangbusters and we had people scared, shaking in their boots, and for Kurt Howard to come back and it all of a sudden falls apart, I mean, it was just bad. I mean, goodness, really? You know, that shouldn't be the end-all of end-all, but right now that is looking like why we're not playing that well. It's fatigue, but... You know, Heinrich has had a lot of chances now, and he's not playing that well. So T shouldn't be scared about the same time because of Kurt Heinrich, if that's the case why T keeps not wanting to be confident. We've seen some games where T just, he either won't shoot it, won't pass, he won't drive, even though we know that he's being told to, he has the reins to do what he needs to do now, not like with Mike was here. You know, if it's injuries, yes, we've had our share of injuries, but everybody has not been injured all year, and people have been stepping up. You know, I don't know. Let me quit being frustrated. Let me see if I can get the caller on, if I do have some callers. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show tonight.
Hey, how you doing? This is Jamal.
Hey, Jamal. What's up, man?
Nothing, man. I was just listening in, and I was just trying to get some thoughts in on the Hawks.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm pretty much with you, man, on what you're saying as far as direction and what's been going on. I feel like this team is peaked out, and I'm thinking the problem is that they don't know the ownership. They really don't know what they want to do as far as do they want to go with Josh or they want to trade them and things like that. I feel like it was all kind of just smoke, you know, blowing smoke up everybody's, you know what. And I just feel like they just don't know what they want to do.
But see, here's the thing, though, Jamal. Now, let's think about that, the knowing what to do. They knew, just like everyone else, and I mentioned this as far as the 66-game season, they know that Josh's contract ends next year. You know, they know Josh, I mean, Joe can't go nowhere technically because nobody else is going to pick up that contract. So at a certain point, it's a matter of, okay, if you're not going to make a coaching move, if you're not going to go that route, you have to address what we have and don't have. Al, and from what Bob Rathman has said, he might not really be back even for the playoffs. You know, so if that's the truth, something could have been done on that end, but to do nothing at all, I mean, if that's the admission that they don't know what they're doing, we're really in big trouble. So, you know, I don't know. I just think that can't be it. There has to be something else. You know, if it's on the money end, you know, these contracts, you know, wanting to be able to switch out a contract with an expiring contract, that's all well, fine, and good. But it doesn't even look like they tried to do that, you know. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that as far as that goes?
Well, I feel like, you know, I think when it comes to contracts and with the Hawks, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people that feel like they're cheap. The Hawks are cheap. Really, they're really not that cheap. They have one of the top 8 payrolls in the NBA. It's a matter of the contract that they're giving out. I mean, to give Marvin Williams another 5-year contract when he really didn't deserve it. And then, you know, we ain't even talk about Joe Johnson contract, but just
yeah.
Even when you even think about Zaza, his contract. I mean, why give Zaza Pachulia a 4-year contract for what he got? And I think they invest so much in players that they fail to look into things that matter. Like, I guarantee you that the Hawks have probably the lowest paid scouts in the NBA. I mean, we know they got the lowest paid coach in the NBA. So where they overpay players, they underpay personnel.
Well, then that goes into organization. And see, and that's the scary thing about it is that at this point, you know, if it's money or if it's organization, we definitely have to scrap out. But see, if it's Atlanta Spirit Group that's in control of that, we're pretty much doomed. That's what it basically comes down to, because then it's basketball knowledge. And we've seen that what's happened in the NFL to certain teams that just refuse to get the knowledge in there. Like you said, underpaid coaches. If coaches ain't really getting paid, that means you're not ever getting the best coaches. You know,
right.
But I even mentioned this, though. What's Dominique really doing? Because at this point, I just can't see how he's just sitting by the sideline. You know, I kind of joked on Facebook. I was like, how come he ain't jumped out, put his uniform on from the Raptors and dunked on somebody by now? I think he'd probably still dunk if I wanted to get down, too. I don't care if he's old or not. But it's just getting to the point where it's embarrassing now. There's games where there's just no way we should. I don't even want to talk about the game the other night. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? But somehow or another, it happened. And so at a certain point, it's a matter of you see what happened to D'Antoni in New York. Nate just got fired.
Yep.
You know, at a certain point, I can't even say the team has, you know, that he's lost the locker room or anything like that. But it's just. It's just decision making is bad. Besides the fact, you know, I mean, play calling that is, but then, like I said, on the court, you still got decision making that still happens. That, you know, all of us, you know, throw our hands in the air and it's like, okay, we give up. But it's this combination of all these things, or is this bad? I just don't, you know, like I said, you know, move the team to Seattle then. If you just don't care, quit making us suffer for it. But this is kind of ridiculous now. So. I was just hoping that, you know, I think if anything, if they just did something, even if it was really a minor trade, even if they, you know, well, if they have gotten rid of Marvin, of course, we have all just applauded and just probably had a parade or something. But if they just did something to make the fans just be like, okay, there's hope, maybe this can happen, maybe that, but to do nothing at all, I just think rings out. You know, I've already suggested boycott the games. I can't do it because I'm in Miami. But I'm looking like, don't go to the games. Don't watch it on TV. Don't buy any merchandise. Don't even hit them up on the website anymore. Something has to happen because, like I said, when you support a bad team, the ownership keeps it as is because, hey, if the fans are okay with that, they're coming to the games and we're making money, why change it?
That's true. I mean, and you talk about Dominique, man. I believe Dominique would have dunked the ball instead of what Zaza did the other night. So, yeah, we definitely use Dominique in that aspect. But I agree, man. I feel like the smartest fan base that I feel like is in sports, and some people might be looking at me sideways, is the L.A. Lakers fan base. Because when they started losing, you remember when Shaq left and they kind of, you know, they had a couple years where they were losing. The fans didn't show up like they did when they had Shaq and all those guys. But when they started back winning, they showed back up. And that's...
And, And see, there's a fine line between, you know, being, you know, the quote-unquote Homer fan where you only come when win, you know, a.k.a. the Braves and stuff. But it's a matter of they have expectations because they were freaking L.A. Lakers. They, you know, if it wasn't for Magic Johnson, it probably wouldn't have happened like that. But once you throw something like that in there and technically all you do is win and you keep bringing in these marquee players and you have franchise players for decades, that's what it is. New England Patriots, Boston Celtics, so on and so forth. So at a certain point, you know, if we never get to that point and we're just, you know, minorly competitive team and franchise, well, that's what it is. But see, like I said, there's other people in the Atlanta market that has to be looking at this and being like, this is whack. I mean, I suggest that, okay, it might be kind of ghetto, but why don't T.I., Ludacris, and Jeezy buy the team? I don't know. Do something, you know, to where it shows. I mean, because, hey, I mean, that's what it is, but you know what it is. But, I mean, something has to happen, something, I think, drastic, and I don't know what it's going to be. But after this season, I mean, like you said, the core has to be broken up. This is not working. You know, we've seen everybody else in the NBA make a lot of changes for the better, some of them kind of shocking. But to do nothing, yeah, I think, is this sad. So, let's see here. But, yeah, but Jamal, I mean, I definitely agree with you. And I'm glad you called in to, you know, put your 2 cents in. You got any other remarks? I'm going to see if I can get another caller here in a second.
Well, I'll let you take the calls, man. I just want to say, you know, hopefully the Hawks, you know, hopefully even though we talk about investing them, hopefully that they'll win and then get in a good position for the playoffs. But, you know, it remains to be seen, man. But I appreciate you taking my call, man.
No problem. Call me anytime, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right, y'all. That was Jamal, actually, from The Dirty Word. Calling in, and I did see a couple of other callers definitely call back in. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. As soon as I come back, we'll take more callers. We're going to talk about the Hawks. We're going to, you know, we can talk about drafting. We can talk about free agency. We can talk about anything else NBA-related. You know, whatever moves today happen that you think can still actually affect, you know. And, you know, just because it's a trade deadline, there's still things that can fall through the cracks or whatever. So maybe we won't, you know, give up all hope. But right now it's looking kind of bleak, folks, I swear. But this is Chris. I am Senior Worldwide Radio, my first sports show, talking about the Atlanta Hawks. I will be taking a little bit of a break. Be right back. Talking about the Atlanta Hawks. past trade deadline where nothing important happened. Meanwhile, you had all kind of other different players bounce around the league. The Lakers got rid of Derek Fisher. Steven Jackson went to a new team, went back to San Antonio. You just had a lot of different, you know, players and movement. You know, Golden State ended up getting Andrew Bogut, got them in center. A lot of just different things happened to where there, we know something could have happened. There were players out there that could have helped this team, whether it be chemistry, whether it be, you know, sheer need. You know, I just think there was enough that happened. Heck, Denver got rid of Nene. So how did that happen to where we couldn't find something to where they could have pieced something together and got Nene three-way trade, something to that effect? I don't understand. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that when it comes down to it, I think as a Hawks fan, we have to be more concerned or be more vocal, or I don't know. Like I said, I've suggested both, you know, boycott games. Just not go. Maybe we need to write letters. Well, not letters. Nobody does that anymore. Send an email. You know, I don't know. I think we're more deserving. We've been supporting this team, you know, for a long, long, long time. I mean, I've been a fan of the Hawks since 85, I believe it is. Okay, that's a long time. You know, going back to John Conkak days. We already know about that. Okay, don't make me get started on that. So, again, I think, you know, and as I open, I'm talking about, you know, it's a 66-game schedule. Every game counts. And for how this season has progressed up till now, minus Al Horford being hurt, you know, minus Kurt getting hurt, T being put into the starting lineup, and how well the team played for that stretch, and for it to just basically, just, it doesn't mean anything. You know, like I said, we can, how many non-play calls can we have with Larry Drew? How many just breakdowns in the third quarter can we take, you know? Let me get this caller on the line real quick, see what he has to say about this day. Hey, caller, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, Chris? This is Carlos.
Hey, what's up, Carlos? Sorry about that earlier. I saw your number from earlier. But what do you think about today, man? I mean, I know you probably heard some of my show, some of my thoughts, Jamal's thoughts. You know, what do you think about this day?
Oh, man. We're talking about the Hawks, right? Or did we trade in general?
Oh, say that one more time?
So we're just talking about the Hawks, so just trades in general?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, this is a, I primarily did the show for the Hawks. I mean, we can talk about other stuff. But, yeah, definitely the trade deadline is, you know, is in everybody's mind, you know. But we don't got to talk about the trade. We can just talk about the state of the franchise. We could talk about the season up till now and, you know, players in particular, you know, Marvin, Jeff, Zaza. We could talk about the shot. I mean, I almost want to, like, we should have that as the shot that never was. I mean, because that was crushing. I mean, like I said, it's just little things like that. You know, it's 66 games. And every, you can't, like, be, you know, talking about rest in T-Mac for something or another. I'm like, it's 66 games. You know, this sixth spot that we have is easily a ninth spot right now. Easily. You know what I'm saying? And to do nothing, I think that's why I was so mad today, is because you did nothing to improve or solidify the Hawks trying to be in the playoffs. And at the point where your GM is talking this crap about, you know, he'll be happy with three wins in the second round. That's why I mentioned that to Jamal on his show. I was like, how you say something like that to your fan base, basically saying, and this, I mean, you can't read nothing else into it. Win three games, don't win the fourth game to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Don't do that. That's too much. You know, so tell me what you think. I mean, give me your wherewithal as far as all this happening.
I mean, you already know how I feel about it, so I'm going to tell the world anyway.
Okay.
I just think the whole organization is just incompetent. You know, it's just a whole being content. Oh, let's just get to the finals and call it a day, basically. You know, if they were really serious about, you know, contending, they would have been what they could. instead of worrying about luxury taxes and all this crap, it's a lot of teams that go over the taxes. And that's why they are in the position they are in today. You know, you're going to lose more fan base than you already had. You know, it's going to, you know, based on, you know, the stats, you know, we're like one of the worst states that has the worst attendance when it comes to the house games. You know,
yeah.
I just think that, you know, you're treading on very nice places. You're messing up something good. You know, you have a few good talents on this team, and to see they waste their talent, you know, what we've been producing, you know, it's just, it's not
yeah.
fair. It's not fair
and
to
I
the
think,
team who actually wants to win. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I think those are actually really good points, too. One, fan base. Two, we have a great arena that we're just wasting away
mm-hmm.
here because we have one of the best basketball arenas in the league, and we can't really take advantage of it because of what happens on the court. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I look at other teams. I mean, look at Oklahoma City / the old Seattle, you know, Supersonics. They technically don't have the hugest payroll of all time, but they make really, 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 really smart decisions. And that's what, you know, the Grizzly of all people, you know, how are they so competitive with what they're paying players? See, so for me, it's a matter of that, you know, throw the payroll crap out. I mean, New England Patriots is the best example of all freaking time of not paying nobody, but they're winning. And at a certain point, that's where it comes down to, if you want to win or not. You know, and right now, it don't look like they do. You know?
No, they don't. They don't. Because, I mean, that's just how I feel. A lot of people disagree. I don't care because I'm not stupid enough to fall for it. Because I just feel if they were really serious about winning, they would do whatever they can. Instead of getting all these old people on this team. Now, granted, we do have a good bench as opposed to other seasons. You know, we always depending on more so than just Jamal down the stretch, you know, from the bench. You know, that way this season particularly, we are moving the ball around. So it involves a lot of people. But it's just not enough. You know, we need to get some eye candy here. You know, I mentioned that on the Atlanta Hawks Nation page. You know, I just think that we need somebody to make Atlanta Hawks be relevant. You know, we can't.
Well, you know what? You know what, though, Carlos? You know what, though, Carlos? Truthfully, and this is just being honest, we have actually enough of a team structure. It's a matter of putting it all together in the sensibility side of Coach Larry Drew has to make people accountable. He needs to be accountable to himself for play calling and actually forcing people to actually run his offense as it is. Because we, in the glimpses where they actually run his offense, we've blown people away. It's when they don't do it that we get in trouble. And that's a problem. When Joe went out and we see how the team played without him being there, ISO Joe, as he's famously known now, or Headband Joe, and then he comes back, you know, everything was running through Josh and we were having a, you know, happy-go-lucky time. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 we're back where there's coaching that has to be involved. Somebody has to be letting these players know, you know, I've always said, you know, why don't you find them $5,000 for every stupid thing, you know? So
I just think
that at a certain point, accountability plays a big part of it because it's not the talent. The talent is there. Everybody in the Eastern Conference knows that the Hawks can't really play up against anybody in the league, whether it be Chicago, Orlando, you know, whoever. And one thing I mentioned, and I think my show is going to end in 30 or 60 seconds, Mike Wilson is going to get the Knicks to the playoffs. You hear it here first. It's going to be ridiculous, but that's what it is, okay? So I just think, and I appreciate that. Appreciate you calling in, Carlos. I'm going to do some more sports shows in the future, so definitely call in again when you get a chance, okay? Check out, you know, the Atlanta Hawks Nation fan page. Definitely check out The Dirty Word with Jamal on there. Check out my show. You know, like I said, this is my first sports show. I usually don't do sports, But I'm going to start doing it from now on as I can. My stuff usually is pertaining to the entertainment industry. But definitely, you know, tune in, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Check out my website. I actually will start doing more sports-related articles on my website. I've been so busy lately with different projects, but I will get back on that. Check out www.imtnworldwide.com. See a lot of stuff about people that you see in music videos, movies, television, film, magazines, and all that kind of good stuff. But 10 seconds, this is my show, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Chris signing off for tonight. Peace.